So what I've tried to do tonight is to get a good mix of people to come up and give you their view on worship, and to close off their section with a song that actually is particularly relevant to what they've been saying. So, Ali, over to you.
Worship is very unique, and it's very personal to each one of us. We express our adoration for God through our own personalities. So I'm going to share something of my character, hopefully, and what worship means to me. And I just hope that I can bless you. There's a line from a song by a band called Casting Crowns. Some of you might know of them. And the song's called Who Am I? And there's a few lines that says, it's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. So what evokes me to worship God? Well, it's an awakening, and it's a realization of the grandness and the greatness of God and the littleness of me. St. Francis of Assisi, when he would go off to meditate and have his alone time with God, would simply say, who are you, O God, and who am I? And he would just ponder the greatness of God in the light of his vast grace and the littleness of him. What evokes me to worship is the experience of the vastness of his grace. And it causes my heart to respond in worship. And how do I respond? Out of the overflow of my grateful heart, I respond with surrender of my whole being, because that's all I can give God. Worship to me, it's not just song. It's my whole body, mind, and spirit becomes a song of worship. In Psalm 103, and this is the Living Translation, it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. And he crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. And that is why I worship. It's the because, and it's the reason that I do. Worship can make us whole. It's who we were and what we were and are created to do. Deuteronomy 6 says, love God with all our heart and soul and our strength. So it's not just by my lips do I worship, but it's from my heart, from a surrendered soul and mind. Lord, you gave yourself to me and you held nothing back. And I worship the Lord with my joys, my sorrows, my tears, my laughter, because you're worthy of all of me. Before the throne of God, the heavenly hosts endlessly sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is and is still to come." And we join them, we join heaven in worship. So worship becomes not just physical, but a spiritual encounter with heaven, and heaven and earth become one in a beautiful communion of people together worshipping God. The kingdom of God is here with us when we worship. We worship you, Lord, because your grace overwhelms, it heals, it loves, it frees me, it gives me life, it warms my heart, it forgives me, and it lifts me. Lord, let all that I am praise you. Amen.
Do you know, for some people, standing up here is actually quite difficult. And being outside your comfort zone, I realise that some of the people I've asked tonight are actually feeling outside their comfort zone. I don't apologise for that. I think sometimes it's good to be put outside your comfort zone. I'm not saying, Rebecca, that that's you. But do come and tell us your views.
Okay, well, if you ask me what worship means to me, I will always say singing. I know that worship is so much more. From the minute you open your eyes in the morning to the minute you go to sleep, there is potential to worship. The Bible says, whatever we do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. In the church, the sermon is as much a part of worship as singing. But for me, worship is always about the singing. In my own personal devotions, music plays a really large part. When I started working full-time, it just had a massive detrimental effect on my quiet times. Sometimes it's as much as I can do to read my notes and say a prayer, and that's usually through some very sleepy eyes. But as I'm showering and dressing, I can have my music on, and I can be singing, or at the very least, I can be listening. I can really meet God in these times. A line in a song will jog my mind to think about something that is on my mind, is bothering me, or anything, and I can offer that as up as a prayer. I feel really close to God when I'm singing. Sometimes my thoughts aren't always very close to God. I can go really dark. I can have really horrible, hateful thoughts. Then a line will come in a song, and I'll think, I need to sort that out. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it does. Occasionally, I can only describe what I feel is a hug from God. I can't tell you what that is. I can just tell you that it is the most incredible thing in the world. And I will never be able to detach my emotions from worship. For me, worship is emotional. The song that I've chosen is Loved Before the Dawn of Time, written by Stuart Townend. It reminds me how much I'm loved. The first line says, loved before the dawn of time. Well, that sounds like quite a long time ago to me. That's how much he loves me. That's emotional. And I can sing back my love to him. So even while I'm dressing, before my day begins, I can think how great God he is, how awesome, how victorious he is. I can listen to a song by Darlene Check that says, "The Victor's Crown." That's a very victorious song. It's brilliant. Google it. If I'm worried, I can listen to a Ben Cantillon song called Guardian. You go before me, you're there behind me. And if I wander, love will find me. Goodness and mercy will follow me. You go before me, my guardian. See, now when you're worried, that's a great song. Rend Collective are brilliant. They do some brilliant songs. Google them. They're brilliant. They always remind me that God is always with me. He always helps me. He's always enough for me. And he's always in control. And one day, he's coming back. and then we'll be in the most amazing worship service ever. But it's even more than that. I'll often wake up with a song in my head. I'm not a great sleeper, but I'm a brilliant worrier. And it's not unusual for me to wake up worrying about something. But in the background, I'll have like a soundtrack just going off in my head. I'm going to just go off script a minute. I'm just going to tell you something. I'm a funeral arranger. That's my job. And I had a really big funeral going out. There was going to be a couple of hundred people there easily. And I woke up in the middle of the night because I was worrying myself sick over this funeral. The family had come into me and they'd already put an obituary in the paper. So people were already ringing me up, asking me for details of this funeral. And I broke the rule and was telling people the date of the funeral before it was all properly tied up. You don't do that. Too much can go wrong if you do that. And I woke up in the night and I was worrying myself sick. What if it couldn't go ahead on that day? And in the back of my mind, I could hear a Tim Hughes song, "Simply to the cross I cling, letting go of all earthly things. I'm clinging to the cross." See, worship's emotional, sorry. But that's what music does. That's what worship is for me. So that's what it means. My day, my life, would be much darker without music.
I've realised as we've gone on that there's going to be a bit of repetition because a lot of what I've had to say is similar to what Alison had to say. But in a contrast, my life of worship compared to Rebecca's is very different. We're best friends, but we see things very, very differently. It's not difficult for us to worship because that's what we were created for. So we see in the earliest chapters of the Bible, you see people either worshipping God or worshipping idols. Today, people worship all sorts of things, possessions, their career, other people, money. And Timothy Keller said, "Everyone worships something. The only choice you get is what to worship." And I love to sing praise to God in song in church, but I am really easily distracted. I went to Spring Harvest recently with Rebecca, and we both went to the same worship services and came away with very different feelings from them. When there's a lot going on the stage, when there's people, lots of singers and lots of musicians and dancing and everything like that, it really puts me off and I find it really hard to concentrate. I have to really focus on one point so that it doesn't put me off. I can't focus on God when there's other things going on around me. This is why I often sing with my eyes closed. I hope we sing songs that I know so that I can sing with my eyes closed. So there's nothing wrong with what goes on stage, nothing against that. For me, it's just a distraction. So for me, I find worship is a quiet and a more solitary thing. I find I worship as I read my Bible and I pray in the mornings for my devotion. I worship as I read a book about the character of God or how to live a more godly life. I worship as I listen to a sermon here or elsewhere. I worship as I study and read for a sermon that I'm preparing. So all these things I do alone, and I find that is my worship. I find that much easier to do it. Like Steve said, in silence is a much better thing for me. There's nothing to distract me. It's not that I don't like worship songs. I do. I love them, and I do listen to worship CDs, but it's just not my primary way of worshipping God. So there was a quote I read on the internet that said, "Anything that you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship." And I read a book when I was away at college, and I read a book called God in My Everything. And it suggests a way of life where God is integral to every part of it. So from your eating, your exercising, your working, your socializing, everything, bringing God into every part of it. And this helped me, and I started working on a kind of how to do that, to make God part of every single thing I did, making worship then a constant activity. Now, I can't say it's been a complete success. I'm not going to claim that I've got that sussed, but it is something that I aspire to do. Psalm 63 is one of my favourite psalms, and I read it quite often. The first few verses say, "O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." I like to meditate on God's goodness to me. I like to look at what he's done, his love for me, the things and the blessings that he gives me day by day. And doing that is part of my daily worship. I keep a journal exclusively for that purpose, to write down the things that I'm so thankful to God for, the very small things to the bigger things in life. That can include a verse of scripture, it can be the line of a song that's touched me, or it can just be something that's happened in my day. And the reason I started doing this was inspired by the song I've chosen for tonight. So for me, worship is essential. It's how I express my love for God, but it's also a very natural activity. Because of who God is and what he's done for me, I can't help but worship him. Even if it's not singing, I do something in my day. I try to do constantly in my day, not always successfully, but I try to worship him all the time. And like Rebecca said, it's an eternal activity, because I'm going to praise him for the rest of my life and then on into eternity when I meet him in heaven. So this is just a practice run, really, for when we get to heaven and we're praising him constantly. And I do believe that there will be singing constantly in heaven, but I also believe there's going to be places of solitude and silence where we can sit and just gaze upon God and worship him for who he is in our own personal ways.
Thanks, Glynis.
It's been really great to hear the other contributions so far this evening. And one of the either the privileges or the problems of going last is that you're sitting there, as Glynis is nodding her head, and hearing some of the overlaps with what you're going to say. But that's not really a problem. That's actually quite significant, I think. And as you'll see, there's going to be one or two overlaps here. It's really good to begin this evening by singing the song, "Jesus Be the Centre," and then to sing the next song, which had the line in it, "It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me." Because it's a good reminder that actually worship, the focus of worship, is on him and not on us. But as we worship, as we've already heard this evening, a number of benefits flow to us. We're helped and encouraged as we worship. And I wanted just to read a couple of verses from Psalm 8. I was waiting with bated breath for this psalm to come up, but it's not, so that's good. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And then a little bit further on, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" And one of the benefits that I find in worship, and I guess you may do too, is that as we relate to God in worship, he can restore a true sense of perspective. Because we all know what it's like. We all have things that occupy us during the day. We have responsibilities. We have issues that concern us, targets to meet. things that just need to be done. And as these things occupy our hearts and minds and our time and our energy, we can find that our perspective shrinks a bit on who we are and on who we are in God. And sometimes our perspective needs to be readjusted. It needs to be changed again. And in Psalm 8, I think the psalmist does that because he speaks about the immensity of God's creation. How majestic is your name in all the earth? And he looks at the heavens and he sees how big all of that is. And even today, we know, don't we, that with all the resources that are ours today, the more that we look out there, the bigger it seems to get. The more we think we can understand, the further away it seems to get from us. And the psalmist asks, against that kind of backdrop, what is man? What is man? And it's a question we might very well ask ourselves, because we can feel very tiny and very insignificant against such a big backdrop. But the psalmist doesn't just say, what is man? He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? And that's the perspective, I suggest, that we need and we need to keep in mind. Yes, we are small. Yes, we may feel insignificant. But God is mindful of us. And he cares for us. Small in comparison, yes, but known by God and cared for by him. And I would suggest, again, when we have that kind of perspective, its effect is to inspire yet more worship from us, to develop our worship any further. Because far from being downtrodden or dismayed at how small we are, we recognize that small as we are, God knows us and God cares for us, and we are supremely important to him. The psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord. Not just, O Lord, or O God, or the God. O Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. There is a relationship there. And we know too, don't we, from the New Testament, that God demonstrates his love. He doesn't just say something, he demonstrates his love in sending his son, Jesus, to die for us. There is a tangible giving of God's love and proof of God's love to us. So, if your sense of perspective this evening needs a bit of readjustment, if you're a bit weighted down by the everyday stuff that we get involved with, then maybe the psalmist can help you regain a sense of perspective. And maybe the song we're going to sing in just a minute may help as well, which is kind of based on these words as well, as we reflect on God's greatness, but our part in his purposes and in his kingdom as well. Looking in the sky, whoever could deny your glory? Gazing into space, how small the human race appears. Seeing you in all your majesty, I wonder how it could be that you delight in me.